and welcome to Crappy Hour. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, Benoons.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How's tricks, babes?
Tricks are great. Tricks are great. You know, it's a Monday. Days are getting a little bit longer. I'm feeling great. I got a nice coffee here still that I've been drinking all day long. What's going on with you? Anything going on with you?
To, you know, save the environment. And I'm getting the cracked straw, you know, when it just starts, it just starts decomposing in your mouth. So that's where I'm at. But guess what? Today is a very special day. We've got a great guest here. And it's also the week we announce all of the nominations for the Golden Crappies. Well, you guys helped us with them, and you're going to get to vote on the first round to narrow all of this down. Those go up this Wednesday, as well as live streaming tickets for the Golden Crappies. Buy your tickets. The show is February 27th here in the glamorous Hollywood, California. So grab your tickets for that. Anything you want to add before we bring on our, I was going to say mysterious guest, but we didn't even keep this as a mystery guest because we knew she would show up. What do you think about that?
It's literally in the title of the episode.
I know.
Right there, which is there. I think there's actually a typo that we have there, which is, of course,
what is it? Crystal Kung Ming Koff, right? Is it?
Like, did I spell it wrong? Can tell us herself.
Come on.
We'll find out. Well, oh, maybe. I know. This is the most professional podcast that we've ever had.
We'll see.
Well, let's bring her up.
Crystal Kung Ming Koff.
Hey, Crystal. Hi. What's going on?
I don't know if there was a typo. I'm actually looking right now.
Oh, I spelled it correct.
So,
Lee.
Okay, so that's my. Much. So then I always think I didn't know research. You had a G in your name.
Yeah, Ming Koff.
Yeah, Ming Koff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Like, it's really not my name, but so it's like someone else's. So you
yes,
say
it
what
is.
You want to say. Kung is
it is now.
Whatever.
It is now.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going? Thanks so much for coming on.
Happy to be here.
It was great to meet you. Finally, it's been a long time. We first met on DM when you were on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and then real life intervened.
Yes. Oh. I'm so happy to be here. Honestly, you know, I've told you guys for many years, I'm giant fans. You guys always get it right, made me laugh. And so it's really fun to be here.
Thank you.
Well, We appreciate you being here. We're fans. And also, like, how appropriate that you're here when just a few days ago you made your grand reappearance on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
You know, you never know when.
Out of nowhere. Welcome, millennial softy, Crystal.
Millennial Minkoff.
Yeah, how did you feel about that? Because Kyle was basically comparing you to Amanda Francis, basically saying that you and Amanda are, like, of the same, like, millennial class, using, you know, buzzwords, etc. You know,
so I have mixed feelings, obviously, because being compared to Amanda is a real tough ride. But with, oh my God, Rob just texted me. They spelled it M-I-N-G-K-O-F-F. So I guess it was spelled wrong. But that sounds like the Chinese version, Ming Koff, right?
It's like Ming Koff.
Ming Koff.
So I did spell it wrong. I'm sorry. Well, if it makes you feel better, I only spelled it wrong in about six places that I
okay, great. Today. Well, obviously Rob's listening because I said Rob, like, you tune in. So he obviously looked it up. So there you go. So Ming Koff is, you can make me the Asian version of it.
Yeah, so Rob took some, you know, yeah. Rob got a little bit of some last name. So.
That's right. So I mean, obviously I got pushed it. I thought it was funny. Comparing me to Amanda, I mean, Amanda and I are very different, but actually I'm a self-reflective person. So I was like, oh God, if I ever sound like her, I am going to never speak again. Like, I'm just going to check myself because she's really rough to watch. And I don't want to, like, bag on her. But, like, it's a lot. She's a lot. But also, Kyle needs to realize that if she wants her and I call it her show, because she, like, this is her show. She loves it. It's her baby. And that's fine. Like, she's built the show. She needs to usher in new blood that's a little bit younger. She really does, or it's going to die. And so if she's always going to trash millennials, I mean, we're not that young. I'm turning 43. Like, we're not
that
young.
I know. Get with it. We're trashing Gen Z now.
Yeah. So, like, it's making her look like a golden girl. Like, she needs to not do that. And so while, like, make fun of something else, because then all we have, is to make fun of your age. And like, ageism is not cool. Like, we don't do that. So I like it. That's the mixed feeling. I'm not Amanda, but you know, she did have her feelings, but it's a little like she needs to just say how she feels and stop. Like, she just belabors things too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, you know, of course the show could go for some younger blood. I would also be up for some much older blood, because I always find that to be really entertaining on these shows, a very deluded older person who comes in and says crazy shit. And that's always fun. I feel like that would actually activate Kyle in a weird way. It might like recreate some sort of dynamic with like her and Kim and Kathy. But yeah, or you know, another good solution is that if Kyle just stops controlling the show so much, that's what I think.
I don't know. I just think that it's not like I saw it per se. You can sense it, you know, but it's been 15 years. So like, if I was there for 15 years, I think it would be hard for me not to have any like under, like, you just know how it works every year, right? It just becomes just sort of like your third arm. And but yeah, I think she needs to allow some like youth in it.
Do you know any of the do you still keep in contact with people from the show? Like, are you still friends with anybody?
I'm actually friends with Jennifer Tilly. People didn't know because I didn't film with her. But if Rob's still on, Jennifer was in three of Rob's films. So they go back like 30 years. Yeah. So.
Oh, so you know Jennifer.
Jennifer is amazing. She's really a great, great person. She's a lot of empathy. And I'm so glad that the show reflects like her kookiness. And, you know, that's just who she is. But she's a very like deep thinking person, thoughtful person. But she's awesome. I still talk to Sutton, saw her recently. It's already out there. I filmed the white party. So I saw Erica. We texted after. Kyle and I were cool. She didn't tell me she was gonna like, you know, use me on the show. But look, they used for three episodes, they talked about Garcelle. It's like a problem. Like,
yeah,
it's a problem.
Yeah.
But do you have any relationship with Garcelle right now or no?
Garcelle and I will text, and you know, I mean, it's not often, but yeah, we're I'm good. I'm pretty much.
Well, that's 100 times the relationship she has with anybody else on that show. That's for sure.
Yes.
Do you know
if it's relative, she and I are best friends.
Do you know the new Natalie Fuller? Almost said the new chick. That's not very nice, but the new lady who's on there.
I was actually at a party the other day, and my friend, I ran into my friend, and she's like, "Oh my god, my friend Natalie's on it." I was like, "Oh, the new girl," and she's like, "I'm so afraid for her." I was like, "It's okay. I think she'll be fine," because you know, I saw some of the girls on the show recently, and they didn't say anything like negative. They didn't talk about her too much. I don't know if she makes like a huge impact, but it wasn't like negative. But they did say she talked about sex the whole time. She's like, oh, she's always like talking about her vagina and stuff. I'm like,
she's kind of doing that so far. Like,
oh, she is?
Kind of
okay. Like,
okay. Yeah, that's two episodes in. We just had our second episode. She's kind of, that's kind of her thing right now. It's like,
it's like, I'm divorced. I wear underwear to dinner and I got a happy ending at a massage. Y'all. Okay, so, and they're like,
that's
ew.
What I've heard about her. So I don't think that stops.
Oh. Is it weird watching the show back, having been on it? Like, are you able to watch it in the same way? Or do you see kind of like the wizard behind the curtain now? Like, you sort of like, oh, I bet I know what happened with the scene. They probably pulled Kyle to the side and said, can you ask so-and-so about this and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's programmatic, the show, but it has to be. Like, you can't just have free for all and you can't just talk about whatever, because that doesn't make any sense to the viewer. But yeah, for sure. I definitely, I would say while the show was airing, I couldn't watch any television. And we're like big TV people. Like, I was the kind of person that like would walk in the door, put the remote on, and just needed noise in the background. And then while I was on the show, I watched zero of any television. It just became too loud. Then now I'm starting to like enjoy it more.
You're watching like the Nature Channel. Why are they yelling at me? What did I do?
Yeah. So, but yes, you can see, I know what's happening now. Like, I already know who's going to meet up with who and da da da. But also maybe because not just because I know the wizard, but also because I know the people on the show. So I already know the dynamics of what's happening and like, yeah, which makes it fun to watch actually, because I feel like an insider now. And I've always loved Housewives, unlike apparently girls who've never seen it before, but join the show, just such BS. But I really loved the show before, and then I had a hatred for it. While you're on it, it's tough. And now I can like re-love it. So yeah, I get to watch it as a fan now, and that's like a really good place for me. I really enjoy it.
How you know, is the big it, thing with the Housewives is that like a lot of times they'll be like, you were a fan. Like when, if there's like a fight or there's an issue, sometimes they pull that card. Like, well, we were here doing this work, as if it's like real, like, oh, you're doing the work. And
yeah.
You came on and you were just a fan. And like, did you ever get that energy like thrown at you? Or was there like an element of like, we're the seniors in high school and you're freshmen. And like, we don't even believe your motives because we think you're here just to put on a show because you're a fan.
No, I never got the fan thing, but I was always like scared shitless all the time. So they knew, all the cast knew I was not like coming for them like that. I think what they did not know, what they were kind of confused about me is I was always like kind of nice and like this. And they're like, oh, she's manipulating us. I'm like, I'm really not. But, you know, I also think that like someone like Erica, which I really appreciated, like, I think Erica kind of saw, she like felt like she figured me out, and like she's like, you're way tougher, you know, I'm sure you're a big fighter, and like I just was scared to fight, and she tried to bring it out in me in a positive, you know, like show yourself how you feel,
like go get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, Erica had it rough.
It's too fucking funny when you do
that. Erica had it pretty rough when she first came on too. I mean, we talked to someone back then who was on the show, and they were like, oh God, this girl's such a dud. Like, she's not going to, we've got this new girl on the show. She's a total dud. She never says a thing. Nobody likes her because she's just, you know, she'll be in and out of here. And then she became hugely popular because in her, you know, in her diary room sessions or her confessionals, she was so funny, and the ladies didn't see any of that, you know?
Oh, interesting.
So she didn't see how they were, she was just ragging on the ladies or commenting on everything or what she was actually thinking until they saw the show. And then they had to take her a little more seriously the next year.
Well, by the time I got on the show, I think Erica was just such a big character. You know, she was always the one in like, you know, a lot of like what I felt like were costumes, you know, she was so theatrical. And it was my second week of filming, and she's like, I'm getting a divorce. We're like, whoa. And I remember they were asking me like, because they want me to, production doesn't tell you what to say, but they're trying to find a way to integrate you into the cast, right? Immediately.
Right.
You can't just sit there like, hi, are you married? You know, you can't do that. It's like just immediately become one of them. And so it was like, ask her why she's getting divorced. I'm like, what? Like, I don't even know this woman's last name yet, you know? And I'm like, and she's like dressed in, she looks like a, you know, she's wearing like the pink puffy things. I'm like, I'm so scared. And I'm like, why are you getting divorced? You know, it was like such, because I'm like, I would not ask anyone that, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
right, but it's such a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to make it like, if you do it wrong, they're going to make it look like you're an overstepper. Like, look how obnoxious the new girl is. She just comes in and asks all these awful questions. Then if you do it right, it's like, oh my God, I love how direct she is. And like, it's such a moving target.
It is. It is. And it's hard to navigate when there's no playbook. But, you know, you just try to figure it out. I think that's why newbies are always ushered in every year, or at least every 2 years, is like you need people who don't know what they're doing, because that's how you play against, you know, the OGs, right? Like if you just have 8 OGs, it's like they're just going to run, you know, they're just going to talk about whatever they want to talk about. It's not going to feel authentic.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah,
I also need someone to rag on. I mean, this season really is starting to finally take off. It's showing signs of life because they're finally on to Amanda. And, you know, you've got people like Rachel Zoe and Bose who are both like, like this girl's full of shit. And so finally they're coming back to life, because they won't do anything, I don't think, if it was just left up to them. You know, they know how to protect themselves and their own storylines and stuff.
I'm sure they felt it from day one. I mean, someone like Amanda, when you hear her talk, like, you kind of get annoyed with her immediately. Like, she would annoy me, but you also have to be careful. Like, you can't just say that out of, you know, cause you are doing a show and you're like, okay, well, this person is here for the next 14 weeks. So like, there is a process in which you have to get to know someone better. Like if I met someone like that in my like real life, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to have dinner with that person again. You know, like that's a high person.
Yeah.
And you don't need to rag on them. You're just like, I don't vibe with that person. In this scenario, you have to. So you could feel them waiting. You're like hoping she turns a corner and doesn't act weird. And then she just keeps getting weirder.
I hope this person heals emotionally before I have to see her again.
Yeah. It would have been funny if I was there. I don't know. I would have been she would annoy the shit.
That would have been great, actually. I think it, I don't know, like it, the thing is with Amanda, like there's a weird relationship I feel like we have with her in the sense that on the one hand, she's totally insufferable. On the other hand, it's hilarious watching her annoy everyone. And I'm like, I'm going back and forth on whether or not I want to hate her or love her for what, for being such a disruptor. And because it is fun to watch some of the cast members, especially the veterans who've been there forever, who are like clearly want to just control what they want to talk about. It's fun to watch them squirm and get annoyed. I still remember, I think, was it your first season? It was the whole, it was the thing that they just brought up last week, the whole thing about Violated. And it felt like every time you were trying to put that to bed, Kyle would like just open it back up again and be like, well, she talked about being violated. Maybe we should talk about it again. And they like sat you down. It was like 10 episodes in a row. Ugh. And I always felt like that was so obnoxious. It was so annoying and it was tiresome. And it also was like not fun for us because it was like, there were like, Kyle was like forcing this.
It was this, not fun for you.
This thing.
It was fun for me. I loved it.
Oh my God. No.
Maybe it was. I don't remember. But in retrospect, I'm like, but yeah.
Real fans, I feel like when you talk about like cast members who are fans, or like fans today are different than like when I was a fan, because I was a fan pre-social media. Yeah. I didn't follow, I don't follow celebrities. I don't follow reality people. So I watched it and turned it off. I didn't really look deep into how the show worked. So the people who are super fans know that that's the program, right? It's going after someone, did it how it works. I didn't know how it worked. I just liked watching it. I was like, oh, I think I've seen Kyle at some parties. Oh, I know Kathy, obviously. I've known Kathy for almost 20 years. So like I'd see Kyle at her house randomly. Like but I didn't know how it worked. So every time, and it's so funny when the audience is like, oh, Crystal keeps bringing it up. I'm like, I'm really not bringing it up. Every time I would walk into like a lunch, I'm like, please God, don't talk about it. And then they're like,
I'm talking about Violated.
And I wish I knew that was coming, because I would have known how to shut it down. Like housewives know how to shut it down or keep it going. I just was always like, and I was just a fucking idiot the whole time. Like, oh God, they're talking about it again. Why? And so you just find out like that's what it's about. And so when it comes to Amanda, like I do have mixed feelings, because she would annoy me so much.
Yes.
If I filmed with her. However, no one's annoying anybody else at this time.
Right.
Like yeah. Everyone's right. Happy with
and that's
each
why
other.
It's like.
So I think you know, probably good for, she's the only person people are talking about right now.
Right. And that's why it's like, you know, after Kyle was like, and others, it's not just Kyle, but they were like constantly putting you in the hot seat. I just always enjoy it when it gets turned around on them and they're like made to feel uncomfortable and they can't kind of have the experience that they want. You know, it gives me like a weird joy that I should talk to my therapist about.
Well, I wish you called me in the beginning and then I could have figured that one out earlier.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Xavier is asking in the comments, or Xavier, I guess I should say, pardon me, is asking what it was like to film Ultimate Girls Trip. I didn't know that you did. How did that go?
Yeah. So normally I wouldn't really talk about it, but pictures are out. So I guess I will. It was actually really fun. I wasn't, when I first got the call, I was reluctant. Cause I'm like, I don't know if this is really like how I want to go back or if I want to do it, but it sounded fun. And they told me who was going. And so, like Eileen was going, who I should text her. I really connected with her with, we were talking the whole night of like, God, it would have been so great if she and I were on the same season together. I mean, but she was on so long ago, but, I really enjoyed her. I really like Camille. And so they gave me I asked for the list. I said, and who's the current cast? And it was really just Kyle, obviously, Sutton and Erica. So I was like, okay, well, I could be in room with anyone, but I was like, okay, this is like a group that I would actually have fun with. And I had such a good time, because no one's telling you to fight. You're just going there to look pretty and have fun. And yeah, so it was awesome.
What is it like having your podcast Humble Brag? Is it awkward for you talking about all the headlines and all of the Bravo stuff? Have you gotten in any trouble with anybody for doing that?
So no, I haven't gotten any trouble, which shocks me, because I really, really toe the line of revealing production secrets and stuff. But you know, I also respect it. So I don't ever cross it. You know, I toe the line, but I don't cross it. In the beginning, when I first started it, the podcast, I was a little uncomfortable, but it was helpful because Cynthia's my partner was an active cast member on, and she still is on Atlanta. So she could really drive conversations that I wasn't really ready to go there yet, because I was just feeling very sensitive, a la Amanda, in my experience at the time. But now it's been over a year, and like, you know, all hell's broken loose. I don't really care. I don't care if I'm in the headlines. I don't care if anyone's mad at me. People message me like housewives all the time. I got one today, like da 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 da. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't care, because I don't have to be in that world. And even if I went back in the world, I'm like, I never say things to be hurtful. I just say things that are true and I can stand by them. And I have just insider information and insider perspective that I can give. So when people want to know, they have a question about how things work, I can just give it without, you know, without adding any sauce to it. It's just really just like, yeah, this is how it is, and take it or leave it. But I don't hear from production because I don't lie. That's what I think.
Do you feel like it has kind of given you a voice in a way, like given you your, like, has it helped you kind of come out more as yourself,
be more
confident?
Whatever? I'm a pretty chatty out there person. It just, that experience made me uncomfortable. So I wasn't inauthentic. I was just authentically freaked out in the experience.
Yeah.
But now going back, when I went, you know, when I did Ultimate Girls Trip, it was such a great like toe back in, and everyone's like, oh my God, you're like so different. I'm like, no, this is how I am. I just don't care anymore, you know? And that was really fun. But yeah, like I just love doing my podcast, and I just, it's just been like a dream because I get to be myself. And I'd always said, like, if you don't like me for who I am, I'm fine. The problem was on the show, people hated me for the edit. And I'm not blaming the edit, just meaning whatever you got, the pieces that you got to see of me, that was hard to like defend. I had to defend, you know, those kind of snippets and moments, where now it's like, I'm just saying, however, I never edit my pod. It's like, if I say crazy things, I don't really care. I'm like, whatever, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And so that's been kind of an amazing, it's very cathartic, to be honest.
Well, I remember your first episode of Beverly Hills. I don't remember specifically what you said, but you said something that was like really snotty, like right out the gate. And I thought it was hilarious. Do you remember?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I do. I do. If I think it was about Dorit. If you don't know her, she's not worth knowing.
Yeah. You were just saying things like, I have this, I have that, like whatever. It was just, it was so funny. And we're like, oh my God, I love that they cast a brand new fresh asshole.
Yeah.
But then what was, what was funny was that actually that was not really what your persona was for like your duration of it, which was, that was the surprising part. But it's interesting too, because you were like, you're very like outspoken, you're very chatty. And I do feel like they presented you like to be much quieter. And maybe it was also a different time in your life. And like, do you think that if you went back to the show, that you would have been, you would be like more in the mix in terms of like in these certain, these conversations, like you were just describing how like, just stepping in and being like, oh, so why are you getting divorced? It was an awkward position for you to be in as a newbie, but coming in sort of as like a returning veteran, do you think that you would have a different energy or different approach?
Yeah, I think that my personality on the show, like I said, it's not real. And it wasn't sort of a fake edit of me. It was circumstantial. I was going through a loss of many friends because I did the show. And so I remember feeling like, oh, now I'm doing this show about, you know, friendships, wealth, all like these things that are very showy. And I'm really like not that kind of person. I have like a life that might look showy, but I'm not a showy person. And then I'm also over here with my friends that are like dropping me because I'm doing a show. I just was under so much pressure.
What was that about? Was it some, because the rumors were that somebody, you were friends with somebody who was trying to get on the show, and then you didn't tell them you were trying to get on the show, and then you got on the show and they got mad because they didn't know you were even auditioning for the show. And
So if you go to Humble Brag, you will listen to the episode 14 Friends. I give the entire detail.
Oh.
So it was not, but I think that's what it is. It was, it sounded more interesting that the person wanted the show and I took the show. No, the person was offered the show many, many times. This was a friend of mine, a very good friend, and her family didn't want her to do it. And you know, with this show, you, unless you're a friend of, you need to show your whole family. And so every year she couldn't do it. And so I would support her as her friend, like, don't worry, you don't need the show. And just like, it's not a big deal, because it made her sad. And that's what it was.
That show sucks anyway. You don't want to do that show. Yeah, that show sucks
anyway. That's what it is, you know? And then they offered me the show. And I remember calling her. I was like, here's the deal. And it was like, well, why is it good enough for you? I'm like, this is not about good enough. This is about, like, they offered it to me, and I think that this is the right thing for me right now. And then the friendship dissolved, and then.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's like when somebody is dating somebody that they're always complaining about, and then you're like, well, fuck that guy. And then they get back with the guy, and then they're mad at you for saying bad things about the guy.
Yeah. So I said the bad things about the guy. And then it became sort of like, whose side are you on? So that's really what happened. And it was, so that was happening in real time while I'm filming, and I'm supposed to be like snarky and da da da. And it was just so, it was so overwhelming for me, because I just didn't want my friends who are deciding if they're my friends anymore to look at me like I'm being a bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was trying to be like,
you're trying to impress two groups.
Sweet and nice. Yeah. So I was really focused on my real life.
Oh, the that's interesting. So are you friends with them?
Irrelevant. Are you friends with them anymore? Most, but not.
And to clarify something, was this group the same group or associated with the famous mom group that was just in the news from Ashley Tisdale? And I'm only half joking because people are asking. And also, didn't you, I think you actually tweeted at us or something like that about if you actually know some of the people in that group or what was there's a crossover.
That's not the group. But I made a joke because when Ashley Tisdale did that article, I was like, oh, well, that's so 2021. Like I just, I lost all my friends before, but so that is not my group. I don't know Ashley, but ironically, I do know the other girls. So I feel very conflicted in the situation because I'm friends with the other people, yet I'm the Ashley Tisdale of the group. Uh-oh. So yeah, so that's really what happened. But I kind of made a funny comment, but I texted my friend who's in the group. I was like, because it was on TMZ, that's when it started. And I said, it was not on my 2026 bingo card that you be in TMZ before me. We're losing friends. But no, that's not part of the group. But it happens. Like, this is the thing, is that it became such a big storyline for me because I was too, like, because I was in it. I couldn't talk about it. You know what I mean? And it was about the show. So it was all fourth wall. It was like, I'm not talking to my friends because I'm here. Like, that doesn't work. And so it was a really kind of elusive, challenging topic, but I really kind of wish we could have flushed it out if I was like really ready to, because look what happened with Ashley. It's like, it is a very common thing. You know, it represents the world.
One of the comments in here says, who hasn't been kicked out of a mom's group? They made their emojis like,
What were the reunions like for you? What was that process like? I mean, it always looks incredibly scary and difficult.
Oh, it's just horrible. Well, first of all, physically, you're so uncomfortable because you have to sit like at the edge of the chair. And by the way, that's all filming. Like, you can't just like slump back and like, you know, look like a bear. Like, who cares? You know, you have to sit on the edge with your legs crossed. And like, so I just would copy everyone, all the girls. And because they're always like, you know, looking perfect. So like sit, you know, like, you know, and then because like I sit crisscross and like whatever. So, but like already, so you're just constantly like uncomfortable and taped up and whatever. And you sit there for what feels like, I think it's like 14 hours, something like that. And you know that there's going to be packages, right? It's like the crystal package. And it's like, they run through all your hell and then it's like crystal. And you're like, so it's super stressful. My first season, I mean, I'm like a student. So I prepared, I had maybe 30 pages of notes. It all goes out the window because you don't know what the other person's going to say. You can assume, but you don't really know where they're at months later. So, you know, you just got to,
well, especially when they're Sutton, God knows what's going to come out with her. I don't think you can predict that.
Sutton is so unpredictable. I mean, we're good, but man, I'm always like a little on edge. Like, okay, what's going to happen? She's the kind of person you have to accept that, right? That's like what is going to happen with you when you're with her, you know, it's always a little, you know, but yeah, it's really scary and it moves slow and fast at the same time. You know, it's like when it's your package, it's like you just don't know what's coming, and it's just absolutely awful. And then everyone gets up for break. Everyone goes to their corners. It's like you're boxing. No one looks at each other. It's very unfriendly. And
your sad little salad that they got you from
Yes.
But my first season reunion, I ended up having dinner with Kyle, Rinna. Weird. Like, am I on this side of the couch? You know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, but yeah, I was always a deer in headlights, but it was
Go ahead, Ben.
No, I was just gonna say, I'm always impressed with the way everyone has recall of the specific things that people say at the reunions. Like, I cannot remember anything that happened last week. Like, I'm like, remember there was an episode with Crystal. There was something about the esophagus and Anna Marie. Like, it's like a haze for me. And the way that everyone's able to pull out all this information at a reunion, I would do it terribly at a reunion.
No, but I'll tell you, it feels like you have to really recall the whole season. You don't. It really is bullet points, and they focus on really major things. And like, unless it's like the first half of the season, something major, you don't really go through all those things because it's really about where you guys are now. So you kind of reference them, but then it's all about the current fight. You know, and they remind you. I mean, you watch the pack, like they have the video screen, you watch the package, and then it's not as challenging. Like, that's why I was prepared too much. So I just stopped. But it's really like, you don't know what's coming. That's new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What new stuff they're going to fling out at you.
Yeah. That's the stuff that you're like, oh, when someone brings like the envelope, you're like, what the fuck's in that envelope? You know, like.
Doha in here is asking, does Kyle Richards force them to give her first seat every time? Is that contractual?
I don't know
how you would, but I thought it was a funny question, so I wanted to read it. Do you watch Traitors? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Oh, my God. No, you just got me excited. I love Traitors.
You do?
So good, right?
So how do you feel about Housewives' performance this year? And by the way, if anybody is watching Traitors, there could be spoilers. Go fast forward for 5 minutes. I'll keep a timer on. So okay, stop listening for 5 minutes. I don't want to hear it, okay? We are probably going to talk spoilers. Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
So I caught up last night because I was away all weekend. And and Zoe, my 10-year-old's obsessed. And so, like, we need to watch it together. And I'm not going to watch it in a random hotel. Like, I need to, like, sit in front of the TV and watch it. So we watched it last night. I love Candace, like, already before I know Candace. Mm-hmm. And, like, I literally texted her because Zoe goes, can Candace be my auntie? And so I texted her. Oh. And Zoe, she's like, yes. And, like, she's crushing it. And you could really appreciate Rinna. Like, this is a perfect space for Rinna to be in. And I think that, you know, she had a very tough couple years, the last few years on Housewives when I was there. And, you know, watching her emotional and stuff like that, it's like I've seen a lot of good side of Rinna. And so that was really fun, like, nice to see. That's the thing. That's what's so interesting is, like, I have, you know, a closer lens to these people that I used to be fans of, you know, and now I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Like, I know what she's talking about, or I can read between the lines and whatever. So, I do not like Colton. I've said it many times. I know it's just a bag on him, but amen. I just cannot stand him. I find
fuck that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes are, he has crazy eyes. Like,
he does his whole,
he has like, this, like, and, evil joy.
And he's smiling when he does
the
it.
Smug. Oh, I hated that he was right this week. I hated it so much because it's just like, you were right. But like, it's like, I don't want to give you credit for that. Like, it's like you happen to be right. And then now he's ready to be wrong again. And he just like keeps going at it. And I'm activating myself and I need to like calm myself down. I'll wait till like later this week, but I get myself very fired up talking about Colton.
Yeah. And he was not even in it that much, but the smugness and it's like, yeah, he has like evil eyes. And I know that there's the counterpart where people say, oh, well, he's just playing a game. I think that there really is a distinction. Like, I think there's really good game players and there's people that like, I just wouldn't want to hang out with this guy. I can appreciate if you can, like, I know Cynthia and I always talk about like if we were on it together and like she's like, I could never kill you. I'm like, I would kill you. I would keep you close to me. I would kill you so fast. And it's like, not because I'm evil, it's because we have to play a game. I love you, but I will kill you. But like, he plays very differently and I don't like that.
Yeah, I think
and justice for Ron, is it Ron?
Yeah, Ron. Yeah. Well, I think the thing with Colton that was like so frustrating for me and for so many other people was that like he was wrong two times in a row, stridently so. And his takeaway was not, oh, I should probably rethink how I do this or take a step back. His takeaway was like, well, I'll keep on doing it because I'm allowed to keep on doing it.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
It was like the privilege that was sort of like underneath that, I think has really affected a lot of people. So even when he's right, we're still don't like, we don't care that he's right or being actually a decent, like faithful because it's about something deeper for us.
But it's also interesting, like the inside of getting to see the cast clearly is on his side still though. Like what they don't see, what we see is an audience. So I wonder what he was like in the house. And that's the thing where I'm like, okay, I don't like him when I'm watching him, but also I've been on that side. I've been Colton behind the screen and there's 99% of content we don't get privy to. So I'm like, and they all seem to be listening to him and they respect him. And so I'm like, I'm trying to be a little more balanced. Just I'm being wishy-washy right now that like I'm hating on him, even though maybe he was likable. Maybe there's something.
Well, I think people just didn't know anything about him. And so he comes in as the bachelor one. They're always dopey, you know, they're always just dopey, cute guys. And they seem kind of harmless, you know? So I think they just figured, it's, you know, it's some new gay with a really orange spray tan and some highlights, you know, like maybe we should just support him because he's obviously new and they're just kind of not paying that much attention to him. I think they're paying more attention to the bigger personalities. He's just kind of a little gnat, you know,
but also like I think the big takeaway that we have gotten from being Bravo podcasters is that like ultimately you just have to respond to what you see on screen and you treat it all, as Ronnie always says, like cartoon characters, because almost across the board, almost every single person we've met from Bravo or other shows has been totally cool, has been a very chill, fun person. I mean, yes, maybe they put on something for us because we're podcasters, but generally speaking, most people are pretty chill. So like whenever we are like, oh God, I can't stand Colton. Really what's implied is, for me, is like what we're seeing of Colton.
Yes.
Because then we can go and meet him. And then he's like this nice guy. And I'm like, oh, now I feel bad. I know.
So that's why we have to just, that's a disclaimer. Like, I don't like what I see on camera. And I'm sure he was fine. But like, I don't like what I see on camera.
Yep. Same, sister. By the way, you have a cookware line. You were just starting to tell us that right before we went. Can you tell me? And this is not even to be like a commercial for you. I'm like actively interested in this because I love to cook.
Thank you. Yeah, it came out around Christmas. It's only been a month. And we are almost sold out, which is crazy. But I have a whole I have another round coming in February, but you can find it on Amazon. So I actually went to culinary school and back in my 20s. And, you know, I co-founded Real Cocoa Coconut Water, and that's been our business for, you know, the last 13 years. And so the food space has been really my career. And I've always thought about doing a cookware line. And I finally did, which is funny because no one knows that from the show. But that's fine. But I finally I actually filmed a lot. I actually filmed a lot of my business and nothing.
Because the water was never shown. And people think that that's because of the Bethany clause or whatever, where Bravo would take a portion of your proceeds or whatever, or your profits or whatever. But is that why it was that they never showed it?
So I will say Bravo has no piece of my company because why would I give them a piece of my company?
Yeah,
it was around for, you know, 10 years prior. But I did film it. They didn't air it. So if that was part of it, that's not on my side. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they didn't tell you that. Like, you give us your money. You give us your money for protection. You don't get
exactly. So I filmed it and for me, it wasn't really about the promotion. Cause I remember at the time it was like, oh, I don't want to be like the Ramona toaster oven. Like you actually have to be careful. Sonia. Like the business is very, is that what it is? Oh, Sonia's. Same to me. But like you have to be careful. It's not like every business that goes on Housewives is going to be positive. So it's not like you want to push. I mean, this company has existed for a very long time. So I was a little bit reluctant, you know, but like,
that's probably smart, actually.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
Because you see how people get, if they don't like something you said on TV, and then they'll go on your Yelp or whatever and be like, her water sucks anyway, it poisoned my child, you know?
Exactly. So, but, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, so I started this cookware line, and it's been amazing. It's all ceramic. There's, it's really, really safe to use. There's no toxic chemicals. And it comes with, it's a 14-piece collection. It's like $219. I wanted it to be super affordable. Oh, wow. And it's, wow, 14 pieces. Yeah, it's all 5-star reviews on Amazon. So I'm really proud of it. But it's made, it's a, I partnered with Bock & Swiss, a European company. And in Europe, their standards for safety are just much higher than the States. And so yeah, that was important for me. You know, like you think about like, as a mom, and when you have kids, like you're so picky about what you give your kid. Everyone reads labels and da, da. But then as you grow up, you're like, as an adult, you don't do that for yourself, you know? And it starts from what you put in your body, right? Your food. So I'm like, why not have a cookware line that, you know, you're cooking for your kids, you're cooking for yourself. And there's so much microplastics in the world. There's so much toxins. And I mean, the food that we eat is really, you know, it can be a problem, though I do love my McDonald's fries. Yes.
I was going to say, at least Domino's is organic.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it starts from the home, and it's an inexpensive way to start in a healthy way with your body for the day. And so that's why I did it. And I just, cooking for me, coming from a Chinese family that ate dinner at the table every single night. You know, my dad was a doctor, came home. My mom had Chinese soup or some, you know, something for him to eat every night. And that was a great upbringing for me. You know, I have a lot of great memories for that. And it was, I always cooked with my grandma. And so, yeah, that's my cooker line.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed your cooking videos on Instagram. I remember you once did something like tofu with like a sizzling oil on top and herbs. And I was like, I would like to make that, please.
Yes.
So I love that. I love that aspect of you. I'm sorry that it wasn't on the show. That's such a bummer, but
it's okay. You know what? That's the beauty of Housewives and being on this platform is that it really doesn't end. I remember feeling like I will, when it was over, I did that video of like, I'm leaving. It was like, your invisible cloak suddenly goes on top of your head and you're like gone forever. And you're just not, you know? And I think that was really nice about Ultimate Girls Trip. It's like, wow, it's really not many. I think there's 22 Beverly Hills Housewives ever, 23 maybe. And so you're like, oh, wow, this is kind of a special existence and a special experience that only so few of us have. And with that comes like how we really know each other through Jeff Lewis and stuff like that. You know, we got to be on a show and, you know, and it's just the connections don't end, you know, it just keeps going. So that's great.
Right on. Well, it's so good to talk to you. I know you have to get out of here and go to dinner and soccer pickup.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So have fun.
Yeah, it was great finally meeting you. This was so cool. Can't wait to reconnect with you again after this and have the best time tonight. And we'll catch you in the future.
Yeah, thanks, great to talk to you, Crystal. We'll see you later.
Bye, Crystal.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Check out Crystal's podcast, Humble Brag. Find her on Instagram at Crystal Kung Minkoff, spelled the correct way, without a G. Like
look,
me.
It's fixed.
I did. I fixed that one. But
I had to call it up because I knew people would say, you guys have a typo. And I was like, let me address it. The elephant in the room. Otherwise,
thank you. You know, I am the elephant in the room.
You're both the
elephant.
Well,
it was cool to talk to her.
Elephants. I know. She's so awesome. She's sent us messages over the years and she's always been super cool. And we're so excited. Did you mention at the top of the show that Crystal will be joining us for the Golden Crappies later this month, which is very cool. So we'll see her again shortly.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
There's still so much Bravo gossip to talk about. So much stuff. And why don't we just like start right away with the big news that dropped over the weekend that the original Roni cast is basically signing a deal with E! To do a show. And I think the details, Ramona has been teasing on Twitter today. Whoa. You can find all the details tomorrow. Okay. What say you, Ronnie? How do you feel about this plan? Who do you want to be the sixth housewife? Everything. Just lay it all on me.
Well, E is so crazy. I don't. Are they redoing E? I think they must be overhauling E or something, right? Because
has there been a show on E?
What's on there? Is that what that those new girls? The what's her name? The Nader girls? Is that what they're on?
I don't know. I mean, so there's an interesting thing happening with NBC Universal at large, which is that they've spun off all of their basic cable offerings, but kept Bravo, and they spun it off into this other entity. And it's a way to cut losses, but I'm like, are they still linked? So is this new show on E, it might not be Bravo, but is it still part of the family actually? I don't really know.
Nader Girls on Hulu. Thank you guys. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, okay. Thanks everyone. But I think this is a smart play for E. And I think it's because whether you felt like these women should have been fired, whether you felt like some of them should have been on the reboot, some of them shouldn't be, whatever it is, the point is that like these women have all been in the community's consciousness for a few years now. And he is like, you know what? We'll just scoop him up and we'll do our own show. My only fear is that E sometimes does really schlocky shows, and I would really hate for it to be a schlocky one.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to run ramshot over whoever's trying to do it anyway and kind of do what they're used to doing. But we'll see. Right now it's Luann, Sonia, Jill, Kelly, and Ramona. Kelly, what? Jill? I don't know. No Dorinda, obviously no Bethany. I think Dorinda is I guess we know now that she's doing her, show in the Berkshires, whatever that's going to be. She's got her own show coming out about Berkshire's place. So she's not doing it. So that's weird. And then the addition of Kelly and I guess Jill, we've seen Jill with them. So, Jill's still thirsty enough to try and make some good TV, but, I don't know.
Can I say something? So I was going around in my Dropbox yesterday, and I found the Jill interview, which is on our feed, where Jill Zarin came on as a guest to Watch What Crappens, like episode 39, so like a long time ago. Yeah. And to record it, like we had to do like a screen record, and it was, you did the screen recording. And so you hear the whole episode, but it's like a video of you, Ronnie. And it is the funniest thing because you're sitting there the entire time being like, oh, and you're like, on your side, and you're like, oh, and you're like annoyed, and you're like, oh, and you're doing all these faces and you're readjusting and you're like bored to tears. You're just like, uh-huh. And you just hear her being like, I mean, it's actually crazy. It's crazy. Oh, here comes Allie. Look at Allie. She looks gorgeous. My daughter's so gorgeous.
She's the
gorgeous girl you've ever seen. Okay, and there's Ginger. Ginger, she's such a beautiful dog. Okay, so anyway, with Hamptons, the thing is the producers, they don't respect our time. They never do. They never have been. And you're just sitting there like.
I have never to this day, and that was right when we started, I've never to this day been that annoyed again doing this podcast. No one has ever annoyed. Amazing. I had no idea. That's a screen recording. We put it in our Dropbox because I have to see that.
Yeah. But the other thing that's so funny is that like, you're also like trying to get comfortable too. Like it's clear that you're like uncomfortable in your position.
Cause I'm in my mom's, I'm in my mom's guest room, right? I think I'm in a bed. I remember it being when I was at my parents' house and I was in their guest room and I was lying on this bed trying to get comfortable. So I kept moving over and I have the mic in my hand and she was just going nonstop. And we ended up being on the phone with her. Like the interview was maybe 30 minutes and we were on the phone with her for like an hour and a half because when it stopped, we kept talking. It's like, here's what you got to do. The bloggers. That's what it's all about. It's all about the bloggers. You got to get me back. You got to get me back on. What are we going to do, boys? And then she started just going on. And then that's when she really started telling us all the gossip and stuff and stopped talking about her fucking dog and her daughter.
Wait, hold on. I've just got to show a little clip of it. A little clip. Here it is.
14 years ago. See, yes, that is the bed in my mom's guest room. I'm lying.
Look at you. You're not even listening. Listen to her.
I'm just texting. I can't hear her. I don't think the sound's coming through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You know I just see myself.
You know what? You like good because I'm hearing your voice. Like, oh, like here's another shot of you. Oh my God. If you could only just hear, I mean, she's literally prattling on like,
and how long they last.
There it is.
Now, if we were to be in New York and we popped into Zarin Fabrics, would we see you working behind the counter? Or are you not there anymore because you're so busy?
Look at your face. Someone else. Bethany, I brought on the show And Alex, no one knew. She was cast for another show that didn't happen. So they moved her into this show. And that's why she was the outsider for many reasons. Not only did she live in Brooklyn,
she
was much younger than us, but she also didn't fit into
I'm just reading my phone at this point.
So, but now you've got these, three girls against three singles. Who are not friends. Like, it would have been okay if the three singles were friends with each other. So then it would be three friends against three friends.
Okay, can I ask you one question? Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, no.
We're going into hour two, right?
No, hour two. I was going to say this, and then Matt, you can ask your question.
Okay. All right. So anyway,
When Matt was with us, our third co-host, and going into it, because I think this was like our first person that we ever interviewed, or second, maybe second, but we didn't know, we were just doing this for fun to publicize our blog on fucking iPods. Okay. That's what we were doing.
Yes.
And so we didn't really think about it, but before we were like, okay, how do we do an interview? You know, let's take turn asking questions and let's not go easy. You know, like, we don't have to be hard hitting. And Matt's like, yeah, we're not going to go easy. We're journalists or whatever. And then we press record and Matt's immediately like, oh my God, I love you. What if we came to Children's Fabrics? What if we came to your house? Like,
that was the funniest thing. Matt was so funny. He's like, well, I'm here. And we really did have that conversation. But that was when I came across that video, I was dying because she's just going. And at one point you do hear Allie in the background and the dog is going off. And you were just sitting there so like disinterested. You're like, I don't want to be here.
That's where the term shut up mountain came from. Because the next day we were going, I was going off. I was like, shut up. I mean, after that whole conversation, I was still the next day all out of sorts. And I hadn't worked on my temper at that point. Believe it or not, this is a healed-ish me.
Ronnie, okay,
this is like version 10 of me. Anyway, that's hilarious. Wow,
it was so funny. Just one thing to add to the Roni situation is that Bethany apparently chimed in, and she's like, you know what I think? I think it's savage. I think they'll kick ass. Bethany seems to be actually very much in favor of this, and she loves that the girls said, fuck Bravo, we're going to do it on our own. I actually kind of love it too. I'm not going to lie. I think it's great.
Well,
like, why sit around begging for someone to validate your self-worth and just go to another network and do a new show? Why not?
That's true, but it is also an NBCU show, right? So I think what Bravo is doing is like, we'll get in trouble if we put you back on the air. So why don't you go over there and then we can still put it on Bravo. You know how they do with E! Shows. Right. They're like, oh, watch House of Villains or whatever. So that's probably what they're thinking.
Yeah.
She said, wow, you know what? I think it's fucking fantastic. E came in savage, Barracuda style. And they said, these bitches aren't expired. So you know what? Let's put them back on the fucking shelf. Just do it.
So if anyone ever wants to have food at Bethany's place, you know what? This food is still good. Put it back on the shelf. Like, it was in the trash. Now put it back on the shelf.
I like that Bethany thinks she's complimenting something, but makes it sound like dollar store vegetables, you know?
You know what? It's got about 30 seconds left to live. Sell it. Someone will buy it. Discount it.
Oh, man. What else?
Fun times. Let's see here. There was a lot. Something crazy was Garcelle Beauvais was swatted. Did you read that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Awful.
It's fucking crazy. There were gunshots reported at her house, which was bullshit, and she got swatted. That's crazy. Another Bethany. It was, you know, I have to hand it to Bethany for keeping herself in the news no matter what. She's got the best PR person because it's always, every time we do this, there's like three Bethany stories. And I have to put someone because they're just so funny.
Bethany Frankel celebrates launch of new private dating platform, The Core. Everybody wants everybody else to win. You know what? It's The Core. That's it. Dating is broken and I'm fixing it.
What are you talking about? You're fixing it. You're broken.
Yeah, I am not.
That's like asking a broken toaster to fix an oven.
Like, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm just not turning to Bethany Frankel for relationship advice. You know what? I would rather have a show that Ramona leads than Bethany, because Ramona was right about Bethany and her relationships on the Brooklyn Bridge. And so at least she has that level of EQ that you can at least sense how a relationship will go. But Bethany, I don't know. Like I can't take dating advice or stewardship from Bethany.
It's odd. So
The Core is a private dating membership site designed to connect people seeking intentional, aligned relationships with the goal of finding a life partner. Because operating more like a private co-op or a members club than a traditional dating app, the platform emphasizes community. Okay, we're going to find you a man, and we're going to remind you to put your trash cans behind the curb before Tuesday.
Okay, look, what are you, dating HOA? Get the hell out of here.
I know, like, it's fine. It's still just going to be guys just trying to hook up with girls. Like, it'll be... You'll have some women on there who are like, I am the CFO of a major corporation and I'm looking for a man who can match my energy. And the guy will be like, here's a dick pic. You just know that's what it's going to be. Like, doesn't matter what Bethany says. Guys are just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. So you know what, guys, as you go forward in your week, remember, it's going to be okay. Bethany's got your back. Give your heart to Bethany Frankel
and the Core.
All right. Thanks so much to Ms. Crystal Gungmingkaw for joining us tonight. Don't forget to get your tickets for the Crappies February 27th at watchwhatcrappens.com. And also go there for Wednesday's release of the first round of voting for the Crappy Awards. That's also when we will be releasing streaming tickets. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. We will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.